Hello and welcome to the Valley Church Duncan podcast. My name is Wes Lindy and I'm the lead pastor of Valley Church. I'm happy you've joined us today. If you'd like to continue getting our podcast, consider subscribing to our channel. For more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.thevalleychurch.ca. And now let's take you right into the sermon.
I'm going to start with a story today, and it is, I don't know if you've ever tried to build something out of sand before. Maybe you've been on a beach and you've done that before. I have a story from my childhood that I want to share. So I remember our family built the best type of sand thing ever. And it was, I never thought of dreaming of doing this, but my parents decided, you know, this would be, it was at Parksville Main Beach. And when I was a kid, you know, want to know what it was? It was the best thing ever. It was, we forged the top part of a car. So it was so cool. It was the coolest thing. So it was full with seats. So my sister and I, we would sit inside, you know, down into the beach, which is really, really cool. Sunk right down. It has a steering wheel. And yes, it even had the top half of headlights at the front and wheels on the side. So you really felt like you could like jump into this thing and it could be a car. Now thinking back, I'm not sure it really took all that long, but for me, it felt like it just took all day. Like, it was just like we're sitting on this beach, and they're building this thing, and we're just like, oh, I know, playing around. And then we actually get to be inside of it. It was really, really, really cool. And the cool thing about that was, as many pictures as it was this memory that I have of our family way back. But it was only a temporary thing. Not if. But when the inevitable tide comes in, and you've been to Parksville Beach before, it comes in for quite a long time, and it comes in, and eventually it all disappeared with no trace of ever having all this hard work of putting into this car on this Parksville Beach ocean floor. It was completely gone eventually. See, in this passage today is talking about building our lives upon something that will stand, that will last. And something that when the storms come, when the tide comes, we put our lives upon a rock that is stable, that has a sure foundation. So before we continue, I just want to quickly pray. So let's just join with me in prayer. Jesus, we look to you as our guide, our help, our rock on which we stand. We trust you and ask you to help us make firm footings for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles at the back. They're free. You can take one home if you like. Or if you want to listen, just listen to what I read or watch on the screen. We've got it all here for you. So it's Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. So just three, four verses here. So Luke 6, 46 to 49, and I'm going to read, this is from the NIV. Why do you call me, this is Jesus speaking, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So in this passage, Jesus is continuing in his teaching. So if you've been following along, it's the Luke's version of the sermons on the Mount. And now this is interesting because Matthew's account of this same teaching was a little bit different. And if you were here, Christy preached on this in our Sermon on the Mount series. You can go back into our YouTube channel if you want to listen to it. It's the same teaching of this oh-so-famous retro Sunday school song you may be thinking about right now. I know it's an earworm, but now you're thinking, don't build your house on this. Okay, I won't sing it for you. It's okay. But you might be thinking about that song. If you've grown up in the church, that might be the first thing you think of. But Luke here instead of shows a difference in what they do on the building sites, not just that the house did not stand on the sand. So there's the kind of the context for you in this passage. So Jesus in the very beginning of the passage already shows us that there are some that have shown themselves to be already false teachers or false disciples, fakers, hypocrites, pretenders, because they say, Lord, Lord, but they're actually not listening to what he says. Even it says, like, well, why do you say, Lord, Lord, when this is not what you're doing? He started in this passage by calling out those who call himself master. That's what Lord means, master, without doing what he says. He's calling out hypocritical behavior, which is very revealing, I'm sure, to the people that were listening. They were like, oh, like, okay, I'm trying to show my allegiance here to you, but maybe their actions weren't part of that, at least some of them there. Now, to call someone Lord meant that they were admitting a surrendering or allegiance to someone that they owned. And not only that, but repeating the word meant that they were exaggerating. They were showing emphasis to saying, Lord, Lord. This means not just saying, hey, Lord, this is what I want to do, but Lord, Lord, Master, Master. Like repeating it meant that they were trying to make sure that, trying to almost like overcompensate for what maybe was in their heart. It'd be like saying for us, like if you're going to go up to a friend, you're not just a friend, but you're a best friend or a BFF. You know, kind of like that, but way bigger than that, because that allegiance part is still there. That your loyalty and allegiance is to that person. And that's what these people were saying. Lord, Lord. So this is a declaration. He says the actions didn't match up to their lip service. They were saying it, but they weren't exactly doing it. And then Jesus quickly turns to notice those who actually take notice of what he says and describes them this way. They're like someone who builds their house by digging down, doing the preparation work, and laying the foundation upon a rock. Of course, this is essential for sound building, wouldn't it be? Like you think, like you would hope your house or your building that you live in has a firm foundation. Sound building is important, but it's also very time consuming to not just throw up boards and make up a house, but to dig down deep to make sure it's done well. But as we see sometimes with faulty building practices, maybe you've happened upon some before, some may even avoid this hard work because it is too time consuming. It is easy to cut corners, pretend that it's fine, and just go for it anyways. I was reading in 1 Timothy this past week in my Bible readings. I read my Bible every day, or try to at least. And one of the things that came up just as I was reading, I thought was really interesting in context of what we're talking about today. And this is 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 10. It says this. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for other things, for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. So it doesn't sound like living for Jesus is a bit of a sit back sort of thing. It's not like you kind of pray a prayer and then, okay, fire insurance, I'm good, life insurance, whatever you want to say, I'm good, I pray that prayer, I can just sit back and do whatever I want. It doesn't seem like a sit back sort of life that Jesus is calling to. Building our bodies, as it says in this, physically, or building our godliness will take effort and time. Just as it was if it was a house that's built upon a rock. Measurements have to be taken. You have to figure out where in the rock is even enough to start building on, or to compensate for that, to build those foundations. Because when, not if, the flood comes. The torrent of the storm struck that house. As we see in the passage, the ones with a firm foundation, it did not shake. This was because it was properly and well built. Planning or adjusting the plans might be necessary even as you go along in the building process, which takes me to my next story. Back when Christy and I were newly married, I had been gifted to me, not long before that, a truck. and it was my dad's truck, and we were going out to Saskatchewan for school. And so as we were going, we packed all the belongings into our U-Haul trailer I rented, and we put it into this S15 GMC truck. So if you know trucks, you kind of can picture that now. I think I called her Betsy, I don't know, that's classic, but I was young. And I love that truck. It was my dad's truck, it was gifted to me, and not long before that, and I was warned by people, it's only a four-cylinder truck. You're going through the Rocky Mountains, so you shouldn't try taking a U-Haul trailer over the Rocky Mountains in this little four-cylinder truck. It didn't have enough power to do that. So what did 22-year-old Wes do? He didn't listen. He rented a U-Haul trailer and headed off with his new wife to college. And as we drove into our first night's rest in Carstairs, Alberta, where my friend lived, we heard an unusual ticking noise that was coming from underneath the hood in our vehicle. I took a look at it, and 22-year-old Wes did not know much about cars, but it seemed fine enough. And I thought what my truck just needed was a little rest. Just Betsy needs a little rest. And so, you know, I just gotta go a little further past the Rocky Mountains. You know, we're kinda into the plains now, the prairies, this should be okay. But the next day was Christy's birthday. And we headed off for that last leg of the journey from Carstairs, Alberta. We're heading out to Careport, Saskatchewan. And we're gonna celebrate Christy's birthday on August 30th. As we were flying down Highway 1, we're heading past Calgary. Things were good still, the ticking wasn't there yet. There was an explosion under our hood, and the truck seemed to just start pouring out steam out of the top. We pulled over, and it was just like radiator fluid just going everywhere all over, and we're just like, okay, pulled over. We waved down somebody, because there was no cell phones back then, so that's how old I am. But we waved someone down, we called for someone to get a tow truck, we got a tow truck, and they brought us into Brooks, Alberta, where we stayed 7 hours at a Smitty's, waiting for her parents to come and bring us back to Carrickport. Not my most shining moments. But as the mechanic looked at our truck, while we waited, he told us what likely happened. So what likely happened is the water pump, that ticking noise of the water pump, that blew, the explosion actually blew off the radiator fan that then gouged a hole in the radiator. That's what had the radiator flowing on everywhere, which then, because the radiator was not cooling off the engine block was getting warped and just like overheating. So my engine block was all that stuff. If you know cars, pretty much everything just exploded and just was final very, very, very quickly. So, again, not my most shining moment that I've ever had, but there my truck, Betsy, got the rest it needed and rested there for the rest of his life in Brooks, Alberta, beside the meat packing plant. So that's where it ended up staying. Now, I tell you that story for three things that come to mind. The first is that, and these are valuable lessons that I hope that I've learned, hoping for the best doesn't work. Actually, that has still haunted me, so I didn't quite learn. Advice from others is really, really important. Saying, no, you shouldn't do that. That can really make a difference. And the third thing is I'll never try hauling something with a vehicle that can't haul. I will never do that again. And so that's the three things I've learned through that. But back into our passage today, Jesus in our passage takes what we should do and warns of what we shouldn't do. We should view life as building and preparing for the unexpected or the inevitable explosions, however way you want to see that. The hard work ahead of time proves worth it. And we shouldn't just run ahead of ourselves, hope for the best, and end up with an explosion or complete collapse of our lives, which you can bring into context by this analogy. Now, in your Bibles, the heading might say something along the lines of the wise and foolish builders. That might be like a heading, you know, it's not actually the Bible, but it's there because they are trying to help you see how the Bible gets placed and all the stories and how they fit. But often it'll say, like in my Bible, it says the wise and foolish builders. And Jesus then also talks about those who are foolish. Like thinking we know better than the mechanics of a four-cylinder engine. Like the one who hears Jesus' words and doesn't put them into practice. These are the foolish. These people are those who did not lay a proper foundation. So when the storms came, in that moment, suddenly, instantly, it collapsed. And what did it say? The destruction was complete. Well, kind of like my engine in my vehicle. Just, it was done. There's no coming back from that. These are the people who hear teachings of Jesus, and once they have heard, they decide, well, I'm just going to act. I'm not going to act on it. I've heard what he said, but I'm not going to do it. These are the people that struggle with that. It's like trying the Rockies, ticking and ticking is going on, or no ticking, but they just go on anyways. These are those who don't lay a lace foundation on a rock. These people may also have that look. Well, like they know what they're doing. They're just flying down the highway and they just think, oh yeah, that's just another truck that you see. Maybe someone beside you that you're passing or they're passing you and you're just going along. They might look like they have it all together. They're coasting along the Alberta Highway with everyone else, but don't be fooled. Sometimes these people don't have the foundation at all. And of course, Jesus isn't just talking about building houses or building these things, but building our spiritual life. When, not if, the final test comes at Judgment Day. When? Those who have a proper foundation built upon the rock will not collapse, will not fall apart. But if our building is in vain, we quickly make a sand car. We just run default mode. We just build a sand car and hope that the tide doesn't touch it. I don't know if you've ever tried doing that where you build a wall in front of the thing you built. You're like, oh, we're going to try to like stop it from making it last a little longer. These things will continue to fall down. They're not a sure foundation. It's fruitless. But when the tide comes in, when storms come, these storms could be hardship. They could be persecution. They could be difficult situations, which is just tricky. Tricky family relationships. Sudden job loss. Not getting the job or promotion we hope for. A bad grade on a school project that you wished you didn't get. A friend that let us down. Anything that we could claim as a storm, you can name it. When these things happen, when these things happen, we should expect to feel it. These are big things for us. As big or as little as they may be, they actually are big to us and we feel it. But if we have a sure foundation, our lives are built upon a rock, secure, unmovable, full of hope, these people are not easily upset by life's difficulties because they have taken the long view. They've looked way on ahead to have the end in sight and say, there's always hope. This perspective will help in knowing where our foundation is found, where we are grounded. So how do we ensure we have this life built upon the rock? I think that's good for us to kind of decide, right? How do we know for sure? Simple, just don't be foolish, right? Just don't be foolish. Okay, great. Okay, I'll just walk on stage now. No. It's not that easy. I think we can do better. There's three of our 12 core values that I want to point to here that I think are pretty foundational. And we'll see pretty quickly how these can be guiding principles for us. So as a church, we're very known for this, that we talk about this all the time, but we are Jesus-focused. Whenever we pray, whenever we talk about it on our sermons, we are Jesus-focused. Even when we're preaching the Old Testament, we're Jesus-focused. If we're going to hear what Jesus says and practice what he says, then we need to be Jesus-focused. Being a true follower of Jesus is going to take hard work. It's not actually easy. Sometimes there's some easy parts to it, like walking in the building starts to get easy for you, you know, walking into to meet with other people that are Christians. But the day-to-day life is not always easy. So why? Because there's a world that is trying to form us to its values, which aren't always good. We talk about the goodness of God, and it's great and easy to do that, but there's going to be some hard times where we have to choose the goodness of God or the goodness that is a facade that the world is trying to share and say to us is good. We need to eliminate the things that tear our focus off of Jesus and onto lesser things. That's why we, as Hebrews 12:1-3 says, that we are to remove the sin that so easily entangles us. It so easily entangles us because it's right there in front of us. We have to focus, to set our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the pioneer of our faith. And we need to be laser focused daily on Jesus. So one way to do this is to start every morning. I've mentioned this before, but maybe you're new and you haven't heard this before. Just to start every single day, but before your feet just touch the ground, if you get out of bed, you just give a little prayer. You just say, "This day is for you, Jesus." Or something like that. Just, "This is for you. This day is for you." Before you even step out of your bed, just to say, "I want to be Jesus focused." Another way to ensure your life is being built on a rock, another one of our church values, is to be Bible-centered. So many times Christians feel that the freedom of Christ, and once they commit to Jesus, they feel that they've crossed the line. In fact, that they feel like, "Oh, I've become a believer in Jesus, I've prayed a prayer, and therefore I can just, it's okay now, like I can just do whatever. I've crossed that line." But I need to tell you, it's not a finish line, it's a starting line. That once you've committed your life to Christ, that's the starting of a new chapter and a new relationship with Jesus. Once you have committed your life to Jesus, it's time to immerse yourself in God's words for you, which are in the Bible. 2 Timothy, which I also just read recently in my Bible reading, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for a number of things. That this is what it's used for. It helps us. It guides us. It helps us in the way that we should live. And no, you can't be a Bible scholar immediately. I don't believe that I am even a Bible scholar. And I've been doing this for years. But you can learn quite a lot in a short amount of time to commit regularly by learning, by asking Jesus to speak through the Bible readings that you're doing before you read a Bible passage. Say, "Jesus, what do you want me to know today? Teach me, Jesus. Help me to follow you. Help me to understand what's being talked about in whatever Bible passage you're going through." And this will build a foundation. To start, one of the things you could do as an idea is to start every morning. I know not everybody's a morning person. I am, so it's easy for me. I get it. But for those of you, it's maybe persecution. You just have to get up a little early, even though you can't. But to be like, just try it. Just try setting your alarm just 10 minutes earlier. Maybe just practicing 10 minutes earlier to read a few verses. Doesn't even have to be a whole chapter, just a little section that the Bible scholars have sectioned off for you, or maybe a whole chapter. I mean, technically, I just do about a chapter a day. I don't do more. I want to immerse myself in that chapter. And just to go chapter by chapter through some books to allow Jesus' words and God's words to really speak to you. And here is a way to kind of take that to the next level. If you're kind of like reading the Bible, you're like, "I don't know what I'm doing." Maybe you're there. Maybe you want to think through these four questions. I've stolen this from a guy named Jeff Vanderstel. It really helps me to understand if you're struggling to go through your Bible, just to go a little bit further, to think, ask yourself these questions. Who is God? What has he done? So what has he done in this? Who is God in this passage? And what has he done in this passage? And who are we? Who are we in relationship to this passage? Is there something that reflects who I am? And then how do we live? How do I live in accordance with what I've learned today? So who is God? What has he done? Who are we? And how do we live? Four simple questions just to help us to go a little bit further. Like, okay, I can kind of get stuff out of the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. And I encourage you to do it with people. Join a small group or join other people with doing Bible lessons together. Often I go to Bible studies or I go to a small group and I'm learning a lot. I'm a pastor and I'm learning a lot from other people. Maybe they're new Christians, or maybe they've been a Christian for a long time. They have a different perspective that really helps me to understand what the passage is saying. And the last value I'll touch on is to ensure your foundation is on the rock. This is built upon the previous two. To be spirit-led. You could argue that this is a prayer first, is one of our other values. I think that also equates to the same. This we have to be careful about, because we can't just jump to this before the other two. It's important to focus on Jesus, to read and learn how to hear from Jesus in the Bible. That's very important. But now with this knowing his voice, we start to discern his voice to us in our minds, in dreams sometimes, through other people's words to us, and through circumstances that require faith. These are other ways that we can hear from God. But unless we are a Holy Spirit-led people, in our humanness and sinfulness, we can struggle with taking the reins to our life from Jesus in the routine of focusing on Jesus and reading our Bibles, and then just stop there, and then we forget that we start to take our own reins onto, we've got this under control. We can do this ourselves. And it's a slippery slope sometimes we find ourselves in. But for example, our own limitation in interpretation of Scripture can actually hinder us in our proper study. That we get so fixated on an understanding of, like, okay, and therefore, and we don't continue learning, because we say, okay, well, it's this, and now I understand it, and then this pride starts to bubble up. But our God, but what happens is our God becomes an interpretation of Scripture rather than the God of Scripture. So that's why everything has to be in balance. Instead, we should be of taking the reins to our life from Jesus. We should be giving our reins to our life to Jesus first. That's above all things, to bring that commitment. To be a Spirit, Holy Spirit-led people. If we don't surrender control and sovereignty to our lives, to the Holy Spirit to do his work, we actually start to act as if we are God and know what's best for ourselves on our own, which is so dangerous. So we should surrender to his leading, to pause and allow him to lead us to what he thinks is best for us, to take a step back and to remember, okay, I lunge forward and try to lead myself, but really I need to allow God to lead me. One way to practice this is to spend time praying, but not talking. Treat it like in the Old Testament, Samuel in chapter 3, he says, "Here I am, Lord." He just declares that, "Here I am." To sit still, to be silent. Maybe you've never done that before. Simply praying and asking, "Jesus," or "Holy Spirit, what do you want for me?" And then wait. There have been many times when I've felt that I've heard the voice of Jesus, usually through journaling. And it surprises me, just journaling thoughts, and all of a sudden things just come out on the page for me. Simply asking Jesus to speak and shutting our mouths. Stop just talking at God, but allowing him to talk to us. And removing distractions could be one of the things you could try doing and ensuring this grounding yourself on the rock. Building yourself upon the foundation that is Christ, that is the Spirit of Christ. So which of one of these things do you need more attention to give more attention to? Is it to be Jesus focused? Is that how you're going to build yourself on the rock? Is it to be Bible-centered? Is that something that's maybe lacking? You're just like, I need to be more Bible-centered. Or is it to actually believe in faith that the Holy Spirit needs to lead you? Maybe you haven't allowed him to lead you the way that you know you should. I encourage you to engage with one or all of those things. Maybe a little bit of each. Because when, not if, the storms come, and oh, they will come, we need to be prepared. And sometimes, as I've learned, it's not a light sprinkle of rain that comes at us, but a wave smacking against the walls of my life, and I felt it. When those storms come and preparations are made, we will be ready. Preparing for that tide that inevitably comes in and washing our sand cars, preparing to prevent an explosion under the hood of our hearts, is then to not fear, to not worry when the storm comes, to not be surprised, but to be thankful for the work that we put in ahead of time, to rest in hope and the ability to weather the storm better than we could have ever imagined. And it's never too late. It's never too late to have that second chance, and Jesus wants us, even today, to just say, I know I haven't built myself up on a rock, but I do today, and I will do it again tomorrow. And it is time to decide. And you can decide today. I want to help another type of person that may be here today, and I don't know where some of you are at. So some of you may be feeling it is too late. The inevitable tide has come in. Your engine of life has exploded, and there is nowhere to run, nowhere to turn. Maybe feeling like you came in here today and not knowing why you're even here. Well, during the last song, we're going to switch up our prayer time a little bit. During the last song, not after the service, but during the last song, there will be some people in the back that would love to pray with you. If you feel like everything's just exploded and I just need someone to stand with me and to pray with me, we will have some people in the back. I will go to the back as well. And we want to offer that to you, that if you just need some help, just need a leg up, just need someone to put that first cornerstone, that first stone on the rock with you to then build upon. Maybe that's what you need today, and we want to offer that to you. So during the last song, there'll be some people at the back, and I want you to take advantage of that. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. We all need it at different points in our lives. So I encourage you to take advantage of it. So let's pray, and then we'll open up the song, and then just invite you, if anybody wants to come back during the song, be happy to pray with you. So let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for being our rock. Our lives can be completely built upon you. We have assurance, security, and hope only found in you. So as we ponder being more focused on you, Jesus, more centered in your scriptures and led by your Spirit, Jesus, we pray in preparation for what is bound to come, so that we can hope in you, trust in you, and you will weather the storms with us. We don't have to dread the day of storm because you are our secure footing. For those of us who haven't committed their lives to you, we pray that they will be brave and surrender their life to you today. Lead them to someone here that will lead them straight into your arms, as we sang earlier. That you would wrap your arms around them and keep them safe, giving them the opportunity and the authority to build a strong foundation, that they would feel confident in that. We thank you for the work that you have done on the cross for us. That is the reason why we can claim these things. That you did go to the cross for us, for our sins, to pay the penalty that we couldn't pay. For the sins of the world and for the establishment of your upside-down kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.